You're listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on bingemedia.net. And now, a BingeCast commentary.
We know each other. He's a friend from work.
Oh, come on.
Welcome to the Binge Media Fantasy Movie League Podcast. I'm Kupka, that's Movie Freak, and over there is PJ the Intern. What's going on, guys?
Yo.
I'm so glad you started us off with that, because I will be attending a showing in a little over 2 hours right from when we record this, and I'm fucking stoked, man.
Yeah, I'm seeing it tonight myself, so pretty excited.
Now, PJ, is this on your radar at all? I mean, obviously for points, we know it's there, but you gonna be able to get away from the family this weekend and go check it out, or what?
Yeah, probably won't be later till this week, later in the week. But everything's settling down now, you know, with sports and just family obligations during week time. So I'll be able to slip away on a Monday or Tuesday night to get out and see it for sure.
The thing that pisses me off, and it's usually the November release of whatever major motion picture it is the goddamn Brits get it first, a week early. Actually, everyone, I think, internationally gets it a week early. And so what starts popping up? All these reviews about how fucking awesome it is. I haven't read anything. I've just seen, like, the beginning snippet of a comment saying, Thor Ragnarok is... And it's just maintaining that, well, I don't know what the fresh rating is. I know it was at like 100%. So, yeah, I'm fucking excited about this thing. I just hope it's not overhyped.
Yeah, I mean, everything that I'm like you know, Kupka, I try to stay away from it as much as possible. You know, the reviews and whatnot. But you can't help but see kind of headlines, like you said. And everything that I've seen is getting... high praises for sure, and you know, the couple of reviews that have been on the BingeCast have kind of, you know, everybody loves to say, well, this isn't really a spoiler, and but you know, so you got to just like hit that 30-second fast forward.
Oh, I don't even listen to any of it. I skip the shit out of both of those reviews. It pains me because I love listening to an AP talk, but yeah, when it comes to early reviews like this, you can go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I'm really excited, man. You know, I'm sure you guys saw it. I posted that question yesterday about directors and how much of an influence that is on the movies that you see. Mm-hmm. And this was what made me think of it, because like, I fucking love What We Do in the Shadows and Flight of the Conchords. Like, this guy, I didn't even know about this guy really until like 2-3 years ago when What We Do in the Shadows came out. I don't know. It just, I love his fucking style. It just hilarious in a very specific, very direct way, you know?
Yeah, so, I too enjoyed the Shadows. And isn't there a sequel that he's supposed to do to that?
Yeah, so there's two things being developed. One is a TV show that he's like sort of confirmed and sort of denied that they're making an American version of it. But he's involved, so I'm going to reserve judgment on that before anything happens, you know, because he could have a situation like the guy who does Veep, where he brought over that show In the Loop or the thick of it. So, but the other thing, he's confirmed that there's definitely a movie sequel, and it's called We're Wolves.
That's right. That's right. The We're Wolves.
Werewolves, not swearwolves. Yeah. But yeah, I've been looking forward to this all fucking year. I picked him on my team for directors because I just like the guy, you know. So it's great that this thing is tracking big right now. So,
yep, it should be a big weekend. Now, the other thing that'll happen this weekend is, I believe my fall from second place will be occurring this weekend. So there's that to look forward to. Mm. So it's been fun. It's been a nice long year, but I think, especially since this will be our last show until the recap, before we go into the playoffs, it's been fun. It's been fun, so let all the shit talking begin. My long game has just continued to become even longer. So next season, motherfuckers.
Yeah, I think I'm in that camp as well. So that's what it is. Well, yeah. Yeah, I got to say, you know, I was kind of looking forward over the next few weeks to see what's coming out. And there could still be some pretty significant movement from some of the top players. I mean, you know, there always seems to be a comedy or a Christmas movie that comes out around this time that just has, like, some lasting power. And I'm not sure which one it's going to be. It's either going to be this Bad Moms Christmas or Daddy's Home 2. But they could shift some points here and there. I mean, I don't know if Daddy's Home's going to do anything, but I think there are a couple of extras in Bad Moms on some of the high-scoring teams that might need consideration. But, I mean, how much do you think that there's a chance that Thor stays number one by the time Justice League rolls around? I don't think that's going to happen, right?
Well, let's see. What do we have coming up next week?
You've got Daddy's Home 2, Murder on the Orient Express, and then, you know, the start of some Oscar buzz.
I think it'll be fine. I don't think Orient Express is going to supplant it, but, I mean, stranger things have happened.
I don't think that week's a concern, but the week after, there's just no way.
Yeah, there's no way it's beating Justice League, especially with this early buzz that it may actually possibly somewhat be entertaining, and good. So yeah, it'll be interesting, and I don't know, it'll be even more interesting next week because you have such a diversity of films. Then you have Thor Ragnarok in its second week, you have Daddy's Home 2, which is really the beginning of the family Christmas shit, because I don't think anything comes out this week. And then you have the old folks Murder on the Orient Express. So,
which I actually am going to see, but
yeah, I because of the movie pass, I might, although I don't get, yeah, maybe I might go see it. Yeah. Otherwise, that weekend is dedicated to something entirely different.
You ever see the original?
I have not.
It's Sidney Lumet, so it's kind of overlooked, but like, the guy who did Network and Dog Day Afternoon, he made that. It's, you know, similar level of like an all-star cast. That his cast is probably a little bit more A-list than this one is, but he's got like Sean Connery and Michael York and some other people who were big back in the day. But it's good shit, so I'm actually kind of excited for that. But
that actually, I didn't realize, I just thought it was based on a book. I didn't realize it was a remake of the movie. So
yeah, I mean, it's another, like, you know, it's one of those where, like, many people have made this story. I mean, the BBC did a miniseries for it. The fucking Hercule Poirot stories are very famous worldwide, and, you know, they've done them in France and a few other places, so.
Yeah. I knew there was a BBC thing, which I thought was a miniseries, but it wasn't. I guess I overlooked the other motion pictures. Whatever. Yeah, the thing that's been bugging the shit out of me is the fucking trailer. Like, the song in the trailer just irks the shit out of me every time I see it.
Yeah, I'm not a... That seems like a theater kid move, which is what Kenneth Branagh is. So, you know, very very fucking showy, whatever. But I don't know. Meg's actually all about that one, so we'll definitely be there next weekend.
Cool, yeah. So, what... looking ahead past that... Justice League, and then Coco is very under the radar at this point. Someone brought it up the other day on the group page. I got to agree with them. Like, is this going to do anything? What do you guys think?
I think it will.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Pixar. It's an original story. And as long as it's done well and from everything that I've seen, I mean, it reminds me, it's, you know, kind of like Inside Out, right? Nobody really knew what Inside Out was, like, leading up to it, except kind of the basic story. And then people started to go, and you kind of hear the buzz of everything that's, you know, was happening with it. And that's, I don't know. I mean, Pixar hasn't, I'm trying to think the last original concept story that Pixar's really bombed at. I mean, everything that hasn't worked. Oh, I know what it was, but The Good Dinosaur was the last issue, but everything else besides that, I mean, this is as original can get. You know, I mean, The Good Dinosaur was essentially just a, you know, another remake of, you know, fish out of water type of deal. But Pixar does it right. I mean, when it's on sequels.
I also think timing wise, excuse me, this is kind of, I don't know. It seems like this is something that people really want. You know, I think part of this movie getting released now is the ripple effect of a lot of different things. But, you know, last year Moonlight won Best Picture, you know, and whether or not you give a shit about that movie or the Oscars, that tends to have a ripple effect throughout everything else. Because if that's the best picture of the year, that's a micro-budget independent film about, you know, a gay man with prevalently, a minority cast, you know, like a different representation of people in the country.
Right.
This was originally called Day of the Dead. For some reason, I was reading about this, the title was changed because some group found it offensive to use that. I have no fucking idea why. Maybe Moreno knows why. I don't know. You know, there's this Black Panther. I mean, the trailers for that movie just looks like it's going to command your attention and just fucking be a great time. I don't know,
Cupcake. That's another
trailers, but
that's another one where I have not seen the most recent trailers because I don't fucking need to, because sure, the first trailer alone sold me on this goddamn thing. Mm. But I still will hold to the fucking fact that it's goddamn racist that they're bringing it out in February.
All right, well, that aside, I played in front of Blade Runner on the IMAX, and it was fucking awesome. Like, that trailer just, I think on one of the Kevin Smith podcasts, I think it was Fat Man on Batman, Mark Bernardin had said that, like, he feels like that movie's just coming out, it's just commanding your attention. Like, you won't be able to avoid it, you know, and it feels fucking cool. Like,
yeah, so just, I can't wait.
Yeah, for sure. But I think Coco's going to do fine. I don't know if it's going to get first place that weekend, but it'll definitely have the staying power through the end of the year. And, you know, if it catches the right vibe, Disney will definitely re-release it for some extra cash on the tail end.
The other thing, too, is that it's, like you were saying, releasing around it, there's not a whole lot that it's going to compete against.
Right.
You have Justice League like 2 weeks before, a week and a half before. Right. Excuse me. And then everything that was coming out beginning of December all got moved. So like Murder on the Orient Express was supposed to be like first or second week of December, got moved up to November. I mean, everything wants to stay away from, you know, The Last Jedi. So Coke is going to have 2 weeks of essential, you know, non-competition, you know, Justice League. And then the other thing is that kids' movies have really kind of lacked in the last 4 months, I'd say.
Sure.
You know, you had like the My Little Pony movie that nobody even knew came out. I mean, I don't think I ever even saw a trailer for or a commercial for that movie at all.
Right.
Yeah, and definitely not.
You know, the Lego Ninjago movie, I don't think did nearly what they wanted that to do. Mm. And I didn't think very much of it myself. So really, I mean, since the Emoji movie and whatever else was before that over the summer, I mean, it's really kind of been a lackluster year for kids movies. So if they can kind of hit with something that, you know, lands with both the parents and the kids, I mean, I think this thing could be a big ticket for 5 weeks till the end of the season.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, as far as this game is concerned, I don't think a single point will come from that movie.
Yeah,
because I think when it was listed, and this is the problem with this time of year, is there were a lot of films that didn't have a full cast listed. This was one of them. I think this one only had four or five of the actors listed for the film, and they weren't in anything else. So if anyone else was brought on, it's going to be a lucky fucking bonus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that, you know, putting this in, let me think of the analogy here. Putting this in, let's say, fantasy football terms, right? Since that is the basis of our game here, the template. I feel like releasing the animated film 6 weeks before the end of the year is your fucking pass-catching back volume play, right? Because you know that there are going to be parents who take the kids to the movies. You know that there are going to be people who don't want to buy into the superhero bullshit, who aren't interested in Star Wars. And you're going to get easy money right there.
Oh, yeah.
And Coco's primed for that. I mean, I'm pretty sure that Disney release is every year. You know, what? You know, 5 years ago was Wreck-It Ralph, Moana a couple years back. I mean, it just... It's a nice spot to release an animated film in, just because you're going to get an automatic $100 million as long as it isn't an absolute piece of dog shit.
Yeah, because it's Thanksgiving weekend, and you got that built in while all the kids are off, so, yeah.
Nice. But yeah, moving on from that, I mean, there's, you know, there's shit coming out that obviously I think we want to see. There's Disaster Artist, Shape of Water, into, you know, December, but not really anything to contend. I mean... Coco's going to have it until Last Jedi. And then the week after Last Jedi, you're going to have Jumanji and Pitch Perfect 3. I don't think that that's going to bode well for either of those movies. That's probably going to split tickets, and Star Wars is going to take the second week for sure. So, yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. But we'll have to see where it goes.
Yeah, and like you said, there is a good amount of films in that last week where there could be some serious movement with those that have some of those key extras.
Sure, sure. So, yeah. Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's been a little bit of a weird season. I think when we all did our drafts and kind of shifted the game at the end there, I definitely expected some different things to happen, but I don't know, granted, we're going to do a wrap-up show at the end of this, but do you guys have any specific points or lessons learned that you're going to consider for the next draft? I mean, what you know, starting off, my biggest takeaway is basically whatever the first Disney release of the year is, I want a piece of that, no matter what it is. I don't think it can be denied that the fucking staying power of whatever that fucking movie ends up being in, like, early February, mid-March, whatever it is, you know?
Right. I definitely am leaning more towards the fact that quantity does trump quality in more cases than not, unfortunately. And that's what I'm feeling. That's the top three in our division is key to that. I banked on certain movies being stronger, outlasting others, and the quantity of mediocrity is just going to trump the, you know, a smaller size of good shit that's going to last a little longer. So it sucks, but it's a lesson for sure learned this year.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing that people should keep an eye out is, you know, it's been 3 years in a row now, is to keep an eye on August. August is, I mean, you look at kind of the leaderboards for, like, the movies, for instance, like Man's Bodyguard, which was essentially a terrible movie, is the 10th biggest point getter in the league because it came out mid-August when nothing else was around it. And had it not been for it, you know, it could have lasted another couple weeks, you know? So there's a couple of those, like, dead spots in the year that you want to try to bank on. And, you know, Dunkirk definitely got a push from a light August, you know. I mean, a great movie, but nobody would have thought that it did what it was going to do, you know, just as a Nolan kind of historical fiction type movie. And that lasted all the way through. And then even Spider-Man coming out at the beginning of July was racking in points through August and it ended up doing gangbusters because there was nothing to compete against, you know, and it helps that the Dark Tower was god awful, you know, and anything else, you know, that came out, you know, in that small window. But yeah, it's kind of akin to what you were saying, Jack, with the early spring releases. You know, you sometimes don't really have those competing movies like in that April time frame.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at fucking Boss Baby. 63 points for fucking Boss Baby. What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. But that's just what it is. It's that volume play, right? Like, for whatever fucking reason, you release an animated movie at the right time of year, you're going to mop up points.
Yep. Yeah.
So theoretically, Coco could pull in... It could pull in about 30 points.
Yeah.
It could do more. I mean, it could do more than that. I mean, if you
I'm going to it'll have, 5 weeks at... I'm doing 6 points average, depending on where it ends up in those weeks. So, yeah. I mean, 30, possibly, closer to 40.
Yeah. Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's not bad.
And then... I mean, otherwise, it's a crapshoot, right? Because Wonder Woman was stuck in between, 20 different summer blockbuster movies, and it just kind of found its way to the top. You know what I mean? Like, when you get into those May and June movies, you just don't know what's going to kind of rise and what's going to fall. You know, you had shit like Baywatch Bomb and Alien Covenant and King Arthur. I mean, all these movies that were essentially going to compete against Wonder Woman did nothing. The Mummy. And so Wonder Woman's like, hey, I'll take all your money and run with it. You know?
Yeah, another
60 thing, points for the year. It's crazy.
It is crazy. But one other thing that I'm definitely going to try to anticipate based off of what I was talking about before is that Wonder Woman... That got such a push because of the social climate, too, which I'm sure will be impossible to fucking predict where we're at a year from now. But
yeah,
you got to wonder, not that it's going to matter much for our game, but I think that Black Panther is going to start as the number one movie of the year, and I think it's not going to leave the top five next year.
I think you're absolutely right.
I don't think that there's anything that is going to come along and strike that kind of chord with audiences. You know, I mean, this is the first time that you've had, well, maybe not the very first time, but the first time that you've had a black superhero leading a franchise with an African-American cast almost 100%. And I think that audiences are waiting for that. You know, I think there's a whole generation of people, multiple generations of people, a whole population of the world, really, that's waiting to see this kind of movie. I think you have the Ryan Coogler aspect and obviously Michael B. Jordan's huge. Andy Serkis and Martin Freeman in the movie, that definitely is a boost, I think. And it's a Marvel movie. I think that's going to have all the staying power in the world. But trying to predict what the other movie that will do something similar to that throughout the year, I have no fucking clue. I couldn't even tell you. I don't know if it's going to be a push for a fucking... because Captain Marvel's not going to be next year. So, thinking of the next female superhero movie, there's really nothing there. It's difficult to predict. And then just talking from a point standpoint, these new X-Men movies, like the New Mutants and Dark Phoenix, I put my faith in Apocalypse last year and it fucking failed me. So I don't know if I want to try and bite that apple again,
Right.
Weird. It's going to be a very weird year, I think.
Oh, I'm looking at the top 10 of the movie, the top 10 points this season, movie-wise. And a couple are just super strange, and I think it goes to show even more so backing our opinion about those off months, because Boss Baby is number 12 in the box office for the year, and it's number 2 in the fucking leaderboard. Mm.
Yeah,
Guardians of the Galaxy is number 7 in point total, but it's number 3 overall for the fucking year. That shit. Annabelle Creation is number 9 top point grossing movie right now. It's 22nd. It's only made $102 million, yet it's sitting at number 9 for fucking movies. It's crazy.
It's August for you, but wasn't that... I mean, they had... August was the worst, what was it, the week before Labor Day was the worst weekend in the box office in 8 years or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, something's still going to get 10 points, even though, it wins the weekend with $4 million or so. You know what I mean? It's,
yeah.
August in general was just terrible, this movie. But somebody's got to get the points.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true.
But thankfully, you know, some of those panned out extra wise, but those typically don't have the extras that one would be looking for in order to gain some momentum. But
now, one other thing that I wanted to touch on with all this, pun intended here, but so obviously we've had an interesting fucking month. You know, you had Weinstein, you've got Kevin Spacey as early as this morning getting fired from House of Cards. You've got lots of people coming out of the woodwork claiming that things happened. There are a lot of allegations. Obviously, there's not going to be much proof here. I'm sure that, you know, some of this stuff is true. I'm sure that some of it's not true. And there's going to be a lot of what have you. Do we think that this is going to have a ripple effect on next year's box office? And the reason I ask this is because guys like Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, they seem to be tiptoeing just on the outside of this whole scandal for whatever reason. They're not really saying anything. Affleck had one woman come out and, you know, say that he groped her on camera, and then the footage came out and he totally did. And he's Batman, you know. Jason Momoa, he had said something at a Comic-Con that people were freaking out about, something about being able to rape beautiful women while he films Game of Thrones. Two members of the Justice League, right? Do we think that this is going to have far-reaching effects on some other franchises if more of these celebrities keep getting outed?
Yeah. I think it will. I haven't looked at the box office for next year yet to see what's releasing when, to see how long. I mean, because think about it. We're in November. Shit's. I guess it depends on how long this goes. If it's continuously brought up for the next, you know, few months. Absolutely. If it's died off in 2 weeks, I don't know. Right. Like, I think it'll depend on what's brought up the week of those releases, is if it's going to be focused on or not. I think that's what it's going to come down to.
Well, and I think it also depends on who it is. I mean, your typical movie goer isn't even going to know who Harvey Weinstein is, right? I mean, they've seen the logo in the front of the movie, the Weinstein Company, but are they really going to be like boycotting or protesting a movie done by the Weinstein Company, even though he's not involved anymore? You know, it's going to, what it would take is somebody like Ben Affleck. And yeah, he, you know, like you said, Jack, that he's been tiptoeing and had previously said some stuff or whatever, but it'll take something coming out for a major actor, you know, of a franchise like Ben Affleck, to really, you know, kill that franchise, right? Mm-hmm. I think there's too many people to just step into the place of whatever actor or actress gets, you know, shunned. I mean, you look at, you know, a Katherine Heigl, right? I mean, she did nothing except say that, you know, Knocked Up was a dirty movie and she didn't like doing it. She's been blackballed for 15 years now. I don't know, like, you try to compare it to like football or something, and I think it's just football, you know, or sports in general, there's like a finite number of players that are the caliber of which can play in that league, and that would take a hit if somebody like a Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers did something like this. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think with actors and actresses, it's kind of just like next man up. It's kind of who's the next big thing who didn't allegedly rape people. Or, you know, whatever.
I don't know. The most direct effect of it, and I know I brought this up before, but, you know, with the sort of whispers about Ben Affleck, it creates a weird scenario, because you already had rumors that he didn't want to be Batman, right? And then there was news that Matt Reeves is going to direct this new movie, and that first it wasn't going to be in the DCU, now it is going to be in the DCU. But it's going to be its own self-contained story with the possibility of, you know, telling a series of its own stories, and that he didn't want Affleck for it, and everything has just been quiet, right? Ever since the fucking press train for Justice League started, pretty much. Nobody has said shit about any of this stuff. I don't know, it just seems like it's going to be a pretty obvious move to move on from Affleck after this Justice League movie and sort of soft reboot Batman, you know? But if that happens in our game, does that change at all the amount of money that the Batman movie can make? And I don't know if it does or not. I don't know if we've seen enough bad Batman movies to know whether the actor had that much of a negative effect on it or not, you know?
I don't know that the demographic who's going to go see Batman, not going to be taken incorrectly, I'm sure, by somebody, care enough to let that affect their entertainment watching.
Sure.
Like, yeah. It's if it was Kevin Spacey in something, yes. Ben Affleck as Batman, no.
Yeah, and
the thing is too, is like if you're talking about Spacey and like Baby Driver, for instance, I mean, people aren't boycotting Baby Driver because Kevin Spacey has a, you know, supporting role in the movie.
Right.
I wouldn't think so, at least. I mean, I don't want to speak on anybody else, but it's very easy to kind of just turn a blind eye.
Sure.
For me personally, I think it's more director than it would be actor.
Mm-hmm.
This is interesting because last night I watched Good Will Hunting, and I hadn't seen it in a while, and it's very fucking difficult to watch that movie right now. In any scene where it's the boys hanging out, because you've got Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, and Casey Affleck. Casey Affleck's already been accused of all this shit for the past 2 years, and he's just, like, gone radio silent, right?
Right.
If anything happens with these other two guys, it's just a bad look. But, like, I'm watching the movie, and obviously Robin Williams is fucking incredible, and, you know, I think that movie has some faults, but there's some really good performances in it. But I'm watching these scenes, and I'm just like, fuck, man, if anything happens, this movie's just going to be completely out the fucking window. And this is supposed to be like one of the great Hollywood success stories, you know, produced by Harvey Weinstein, all that shit. It's just impossible to not think about, for me at least.
Yeah, I didn't know, well, especially once you tack Weinstein onto that. That is one of those... Jesus.
It sucks.
That does... It's really creepy is what that is.
Yeah, and I don't know...
Who knows what went on during that filming?
And I'm not, you know, allegations are not the same as proof and being accused of something, and, you know, those lines are going to get blurred, but, you know, yeah, I mean, you said nobody's protesting Baby Driver, for sure, but somebody immediately posted a fucking Instagram picture of Ansel Elgort, Kevin Spacey's hand on his shoulder, and says, "Don't touch me, Kevin Spacey," which was just meant to be a joke like 6 months ago. But right. Who fucking knows what that really means now? You know, like everything just has this creepy fucking layer of shit now. And it sucks. Like Glengarry Glen Ross, one of my favorite fucking movies. Spacey's in it. Then Alec Baldwin comes out on Jimmy Fallon and says that he's abused women before. It's like, fuck, man. I want to just watch my movies. Like, fuck. Ugh.
Yeah, it's weird. Kind of related, just because it has to do with, you know, personal beliefs and whatnot. I've boycotted certain food establishments for years now because of things like this. But yes, their actions are fucked up, greatly fucked up. But there's so many other people involved in the process that benefit from supporting something that they're in that get affected by this.
Yeah.
And that's more the struggle I'm at internally now. Like, yeah, the guy at the top is a fucking piece of shit, but you know what? The people that kind of work everything below him need this. So what am I to do?
Yeah, it starts getting very muddy. I don't know. I find I'm having trouble sort of rectifying how I feel about it. Like, I can watch a Tom Cruise movie and it doesn't bother me too much, but I know that he's a fucking insane, fucking asshole, basically.
Yeah. But that's a good example, because there are plenty of people, like my wife included, that won't touch a Tom Cruise movie.
Right.
It's because, you know, of his craziness and the Scientology and all this. And I kind of argue with her. I'm like, listen, he makes entertaining movies. Like, what do I care that, you know, he's a nutbag and a Scientologist and all this? But there's some people that care enough, and there'll be some people that care enough about this that, you know. But again, I think it reminds me of almost like the Ray Rice situation, where in terms of if it's unseen or it's something that you can just kind of turn a blind eye to, you don't really think much of it. Now, Ray Rice, that kind of happened, but then the video came out of him essentially sucker punching his wife at the time, and everybody was up in arms because it was right there front and center, and you couldn't ignore it anymore. You couldn't kind of sweep it under the rug. Yeah. And I think it could take something like that. And obviously the Weinstein thing maybe was that, right? Mm-hmm. That has been getting swept under the rug for so long, but now these allegations against Weinstein come out, and maybe that was the catalyst to get it going. I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's always been, you know, shit said about artists, especially over the years. And the one thing that I always pops up initially in my head is all my dad used to say is judge the art, not the artist. Like, and there's some definite truth to that, but it's harder these days when there's such a social interaction with so many social media platforms where they are so accessible, where it's, you know, it's kind of just, you know, the public saying, hey, you, it's out there. It's going to be out there.
Yeah.
Don't be a fucking douchebag, or we're gonna call you out on it. It's
yeah,
which I'm okay with. It sucks that it's been buried for so long. That's the thing that sucks. And now it's that just whole he said she said, because back then there wasn't, for the most part, documented evidence.
Yeah,
you know, we don't have it on film as much as everybody who fucks around these days.
It's just especially difficult, you know. Judge the art, not the artist. Okay. And I'm a hypocrite of this myself. This is why I'm bringing it up, because like I can't figure out where I stand on it, you know. But like,
right.
Apply that logic to church, right? Let's say yep. You go to church. Judge the art, not the artist. Okay, well, a fucking pedophile priest that goes up in front of a congregation and, you know, says that you should love one another and that you know, you should be married and the sanctity of marriage is important and all that shit. I don't know. That's a little tough for me to deal with, you know.
See, but that I think the art and artist is not to be metaphorical, but actually those in the entertainers, I guess. Not the, but you're right. It's the same thing. It's being a hypocrite, but the message given forth by a priest would be isn't so much as a fake, someone who's acting, as, you know, just putting on a show. Mm-hmm. I guess. So I think the line of work there is a little bit too separated to be compared. But I understand your point.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. It's something we're going to have to... there's no way to anticipate it. But I feel like next year it could be one sort of wild card. Very dark wild card, of course. But something that could have like deep ramifications on the game if it continues.
What I would see more so, rather than things not being supported at the box office, is films not being fucking finished. Because as this comes out, actors having to pull out of things that are in pre-production or in development, affecting time frames of release schedule. So it's going to be a fucking weird one for sure.
Yeah. So something to, disturbingly fucking add a little tension to the game next year. So we'll have to see what happens. Alright guys, I don't know, what else do we have here? PJ, any particular stats that you wanted to bring up? I mean, we're pretty late in this thing. I think most of the positions are pretty well decided at this point. I took a quick look at the spreadsheets. Nothing really jumped out at me, but anything you saw that maybe was worth mentioning?
Well, I did last night, because I've, you know, with obviously the NFL season in full, swing and baseball playoffs, like, have kind of been out of kind of analyzing this stuff. So last night, though, I took some time. I went through all the magazine covers. Magazine covers are finally up to date. And there was actually a big push. I wrote down some stats here as to, like, who actually gained some ground based on their magazine covers. And yes, I'm wasting time as I find it here. So Ben Affleck had another 3 covers on Us Weekly because he just can't get out of the news with his relationships and whatever the hell is going on. So I think Affleck at this point, if I pull it up here, has something along the lines of 45 points just from magazine covers.
Wow.
Which is ridiculous. And none of them, 3 from People, 4
Jesus
from
Christ.
Us Weekly, 4 from Us Weekly, and then 1 from Empire and 1 from Total Film, which both are Justice League covers essentially. So, I mean, he just in Us Weekly and People Magazine essentially, like, got another box office, you know, movie, you know, another 35 to 40 points, which is just, it's ridiculous. But that's what's going to happen when, you know, you're like a major star like this and you have relationship troubles or, you know, divorce and getting back together and all this stuff. So anyway, so last night, that was just kind of over the last 2 months, he had another 3 covers, which was ridiculous. Mark Ruffalo, there were 2 Thor covers, and based on what we kind of decided this past year to include the either CG or animated character voices, Ruffalo had a couple covers. Chris Hemsworth, all the Justice League people, Gal Gadot and whoever else, you know, had, I think each had a couple covers. And just this last, the final, I think it was Total Film, the final Total Film cover of the year, the December cover was, it was like legendary characters or something like that. Yeah. So we got another Harrison Ford for Indiana Jones. We got another Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia. We had Samuel L. Jackson as Jules from Pulp Fiction. And even Andy Serkis as Gollum got himself a cover, which I wouldn't think actually would ever happen, Andy Serkis getting a cover. Right. But
it's pretty nuts.
So those are all December Total Film final covers. And then Idris got a random cover somehow. I can't remember if it was September or October. I don't even know what it was for. And then obviously Daisy Ridley has been just getting her monthly pulls. So
yes, she has.
Sorry. Oh, Jesus.
So right, yeah,
Danny Louie knows what's up.
Yeah, we had something like 7 or 8 covers got updated kind of from September, October. And for the most part, except entertainment, like I think Empire's December magazine is out in Total Film. So I think we'll be done with those. We'll get maybe about 6 more covers from all the others. And that'll be it for that. So yeah, Ben Affleck was like the big winner in the magazine covers. And let me see. Let me just scroll down here, see who else. Chris Pratt, Chris Hemsworth both had 4 covers. Harrison Ford had 4. Tom Holland with 5, which is, and Vin Diesel with 5. Obviously, Baby Groot and Fast and the Furious. So, you know, it's good. It's a good pick. You know, those are good additional points for anybody like a Vin Diesel or Tom Holland who's already kind of banking on, you know, big box office movies. You know, it kind of gives you that extra 25 points. Other than that, I did go through and I did the monthly scores as we've been typically doing just to see kind of where everybody's been, where people are falling short, where people are making bank, you know, on their the last 2 months. So I kind of did a September and October together. And there's not a whole lot to derive off of it. But what you do see is that the people that are essentially leading their divisions are the people that are still scoring in September and October. So Kupka, as you were saying, you are 2 points ahead of PDMC right now for second place in your division.
Yep.
And the whole reason is you scored 41 points in the last 2 months, and PMC scored 216 points.
Yep.
So obviously, just your lack of points in this the last 2 months is just killing you.
And that's the quantity quality thing, because I'm looking at his what he's got left, and it's not happening.
Yeah, and I was laughing. So TM at one point was the leader of the soft taco division, and has slowly but surely fallen off, and literally got 0 points the last 2 months. So holy, I think his dreams of competing are over and done with. Other than that, yeah, I mean, you know, Art's making a decent push in the hard taco division behind Ed and Reed Wilson, but those three are essentially the only ones, you know, scoring triple digits. We talked about Pete MC and Chad C look to be pulling, you know, as long as this keeps up, out of the Sasquatch division in the so ridiculously wet division. Alex Keene is essentially, I mean, he's got a 4-point lead or something just looking at it. I mean, it's ridiculous. So it's really going to come down to that, the second place. Oh, and so this is Chad D has kind of been on you, Kupka, a little bit, because you kind of called him dead, and he is only about 50 points out from surpassing Louis O, it looks like, for second place in that division. So, and this will go into us, you know, maybe for next year talking about doing almost a wild card, because like in sports, people get so mad at Eastern Conference basketball because the fifth best team in the Eastern Conference wouldn't even been in the top eight. So Louis O or Chad D or somebody in that ridiculously wet division is going to make the playoffs with under 1,000 points. And you're going to have somebody in hard taco division that's going to be left out with over 1,200 points. So it may be something to discuss. Again, yeah, the other soft taco division, Bill Tremendous, is pulling away. I mean, he's even got a bigger lead. He's got almost 500 point lead, it looks like, on, oh no, I lied, Anthony Del Vecchio. Looks like he's kind of got second place under control there. I am actually leading the Crash Bang Wallop division. Michelle, Pete NC's chick, at one point was kind of running neck and neck, but she's kind of fallen off a little bit. So I think it's going to be a race for second place in that division. And then Nate P is kind of running away with the up all night division. Again, Eddie Ramirez looks to be in control of second place there. So as you guys said, it looks for the most part that stuff's more or less wrapped up. It'll be interesting to see how this 25 point captain actually plays out. I don't know if it'll mean anything at the end of the year, but it very well could.
I think it does in one instance, but I have to go back and look. But yeah, I think really there could be only movement in Sasquatch and Crash Bang Wallop. But to go to what you said about Chad D calling me out, he's not wrong. You know, early on he did look like he was out of it, and if my math then was correct, just like it is for me now, it's just what's left against other people is either canceling it out or there's not enough weeks to gain the fucking ground back. And that's the shitty part of it. So I might be wrong. I'd have to go back and double check, because it's been a long time since I looked at his scores. But, you know, that's the August shit, the surprise fucking movies here and there. That's the type of shit that'll happen. You know, you gamble on one actor, turns in a shitty performance, not worth any points going forward. You happen to get one of those fucking golden tickets. We'll see. We got, 6 weeks left? 5 weeks left?
Yeah, somewhere in that camp.
It's fucking crazy.
Yep. I mean, there's going to be, and there's still a lot of points to gain. I mean, Midnight on the Orient Express, from what I remember, a lot of extras in it. Obviously, Justice League and other than that, Star Wars, you got your Jumanji, pitch perfect points at the end of the year, but I think by the next 3 weeks we'll really know. And it all depends on which one of these movies stays on top through Star Wars, right? Is it Justice League? Is it Thor? Is it Coco? Which one kind of has that staying power before Star Wars comes out?
Right.
You know, if Thor can be in third place come December 15th, it's going to be a big boost. Then, you know, if it's, you know, I mean, it's a lot to ask, you know, 6-7 weeks later, but.
You know what's crazy? I just did the math. Right now, there is a possible box office point total of 1,250 points that could be had if you chose the top fucking directors, actors, movies right now. Fucking Alex Keane is only 116 off of that. Nate P is only 119 off. Like, that's crazy as how close to the fucking maximum amount of points that is that they could that you could have. It's fucking nuts.
It's impressive.
It's interesting. Yeah, impressive indeed.
So, and I was thinking earlier about that and wondering if somehow we can incorporate a style of bonus putting you in a certain percentage of the league.
Speaking of, we're going to have to calculate those end of year bonuses too.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, so if we all remember, at the beginning of the season, when you drafted your team, you declared your team captain. If you didn't declare the captain, it was whatever your first pick was. And if that's the top point getter for your team, what are you getting, a bonus, 25 or 50, something like that?
25.
So there may be, you know, probably not enough to make a huge difference, but maybe be a little bit interesting there at the end.
PJ did just bring that up, so way to pay attention.
Oh, fuck. Really? God damn it. Where the fuck was I?
I don't know.
Leaping? I don't know.
I guess.
But yeah, 5 points. If you look like your division, Kupka, I mean, you, Pete MC, and Chancy all had Tahseen Ghori as your captain, and that's most likely stick. And even if it doesn't, there'll be no movement there because you all had it. So,
right.
For the leagues, it'll probably make a difference. Others, maybe not so much.
One of the things that just jumped out at me as well, because I saw a couple of the zeros next to some actors' names. There are currently 11 people who have 0 points. But this is just box office, because it's hysterical that Ben Affleck has 45 fucking points, yet not a single one is a box office point.
Oh, that's it. I didn't even think about that, but yeah, I mean, he hasn't been in a movie all year. I mean, next week, but
Amy Adams, Ben Affleck, Benicio del Toro, Carrie Fisher, Kate Blanchett, Chris Hemsworth, Daisy Ridley, Daniel Egan, John Boyega, Justin Xavier, Mark Ruffalo.
Justin Xavier, yes.
So yeah. Essentially everyone in Justice League, Thor, and fucking Star Wars.
Right.
This should be a lesson. I'm going to give away a hint for all you folks for next season. These are wasted fucking picks. They're especially December is a fucking wasted month. Yes, you want to find somebody who's in a movie in December like Star Wars, but make sure they're in something else. These are wasted fucking picks. Those could have gone towards, you know, somebody who could have got you something. So think about that for next season.
Yep. Read the rules, people. Star Wars is still only getting you 30 points. So.
Maximum. I should put it in right now. 30 points, 30 points, 30 points. Because that's it. That's all you're getting from it. No more, no less. Fuck. There could be a shock. And it could maybe only get 29. Who knows? But I'm expecting 30.
Now, do you guys... We didn't... We had talked about doing something different for the second round. Have you guys thought about that? Like what the play is for the second round playoffs, the first round of the playoffs or the second round of the league before the Oscar, before the Oscar picks.
I haven't given it any thought yet.
I haven't either. I just realized as we're recording this that, oh, shit, we need to figure that out.
Yeah. So. Well,
last year we did, what, the GC game?
Yeah.
I think we can do, we can incorporate a couple things. I think Ammon wouldn't mind if we stole some from the quote horrors category. I think we can have an intern get that shit for us. And maybe GC game again, because people do seem to love that. That's way we have, you know, a few questions from multiple categories instead of a bunch of questions from one fucking category. So we'll see. We got a couple months to figure it out, but we definitely need to get a move on it, because it'll be here before we know it.
Yeah, we'll take that discussion off air. I think we got to, just thinking off the top of my head, there are a couple of things we want to shore up before we do that again, because I know last year we had a couple little snafus here and there, with like point allocations and stuff, just clarity of that, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah, and I think that came because it was strictly GC games, so I think this way, if we do different, it'll be better. But yeah, we'll continue off the
Yeah, we have each other's information, so
I know how you can be reached.
Right.
For all the players that are out of it already, you know, there's no time like the present to start doing research for next year. I mean, I would think the March and April box office release dates should be relatively close to, you know, set. And knowing, or just in general, knowing what's coming out next year, you really should start getting casts, you know, listed, and can kind of start going through it all. I don't know, start thinking about what you think's going to do the best, what comes out at what month, and kind of go from there.
I just actually had this pop in my head. I personally will be offering bounties for people who bring people in for next season. I think most people have taken this pretty fucking seriously, and I hope it continues to go that way, but I want this thing to get fucking bigger. So when we have a wrap-up show, I'm going to have some sort of details as to what you will receive for people that you bring into this fucking thing. So look out for that as well.
Nice. All right, guys, anything else we need to cover, or is that about wrap it up for this month?
I think that'll do it until we recap everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Great. Well, stay tuned. What's up? Is that me echoing, or is that somebody else trying to talk?
I think it was you echoing.
Well, whatever. Okay. All right. Stay tuned to the network. Updates on Better Call Binge incoming. Binge cast this week. We've got what was this week? Is this week a game cast? Or did we do it last week? I can't remember.
We did it last week.
Last week. All right. We've got that coming. Think we got another sports cast coming out. A few other things. Coming down the pipeline, make sure that you enter into all of our contests and tune in to find out who won the Halloween contest. We're going to have some other giveaways coming up. I believe we have the gift exchange that we're going to be doing again this season. Michelle did it last year, so probably going to talk to her about maybe doing that again. We'll start a little bit earlier so more people can get involved if you want. And yeah, all right. So for myself and the guys, I say...
Later.
You've been listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on BingeMedia.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Buy some merch at BingeMedia.net/shop. Subscribe to our newsletter at BingeMedia.net/newsletter. And don't forget...
I can't get enough of soup.
Bob Odenkirk.